Hello and welcome back to another 7,500 Holt opposition preview. This weekend we play Manchester City away. This is a tough one. This is the first kickoff on the Saturday, 12:30 p.m. kickoff in the UK, which would mean 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Zone here in North America, which for me and Nico sucks. And without further ado, introduce Nico. Nico Morales, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And Nico is a freelance writer. He is a Manchester City fan. And surprisingly enough, it's hard to find Manchester City fans that actually want to, I wouldn't say not engage, but that are actually doing podcasts and are kind of more social.
Yeah, it's an interesting fan base for sure. I think, when I first got into all this stuff, I didn't do it for the, explicit purpose of trying to cover Manchester City just as football. In football as a whole, but yeah, the City fan base is one that is really interesting in terms of how the fan dynamics work.
Oh, absolutely. And I think even before we preview it, I think there's always fans, especially in the UK, especially with me being outside of the UK, that are kind of interested to see how international fans become fans of their club. So for you, how did you become a Man City fan?
It's funny because I've definitely been asked this question before, and I think just to kind of get meta about it real quick. Like, I think a few years ago when I started writing about football, there was like this expectation that Americans have these like amazing, sort of interconnected, super in-depth background stories as to how they became fans of their, British clubs or European clubs. And like, I just don't have that. Like, mine is very boring. But now sort of the opposite is happening with UK fans in terms of the NBA and the NFL. Like, they're just kind of picking. They're just kind of picking and choosing in the same sort of arbitrary ways that North American fans once did. But basically, mine boils down to my friends introduced me or reintroduced me to football in high school because I played as a kid. I lived in Spain for a little bit, but then when I moved back, it wasn't big here. So I kind of stopped. And then when they sort of reintroduced me to the Premier League, none of them, I didn't know a single one of them, any one of them that liked the Premier League that like Manchester City. They were all Arsenal or Manchester United or Chelsea fans. So I said, who's this other blue team in the top of the table or near the top of the table? And it's been an interesting journey ever since.
Oh, it's definitely been a different one from Villa's standpoint, but it's interesting to hear that because that kind of happened with me, especially around the high school time. I got back into it, always kind of supported Villa from afar. I'm a glutton and a sucker for punishment, apparently. But no, it's just one of those things, especially from North American standpoint, where it kind of comes in and out of our lives at a young age. And then we just kind of find this passion. And later on, it just never leaves us. But anyways, we'll move on from there. We'll get on to the nitty gritty and what I'm sure a lot of people want to hear. Manchester City, it's been an interesting season, to be honest, because I think a lot of people thought you and Liverpool would be a lot closer, and obviously Liverpool dropping points against United on the last weekend actually helped. So with that being said, how do you feel your season's gone so far?
I it's obviously a bit disappointing given sort of the disparity in points, like you said, between us and Liverpool, the two main title contenders. At the same time, I think it is interesting from sort of an analytical or statistical or just pure entertainment perspective, because Manchester City have been so good for the past two seasons. And I would say that right now there are some genuine issues with the tactical structure of the team, which is something that hasn't really been explored with Guardiola previously. Like, that isn't to say he hasn't had issues when he was at Barcelona or Bayern Munich, but this is, his fourth year at Manchester City. And he usually, or not usually, there's not too much of a sample size, but at Bayern he was only there for 3 years, and then Barcelona previously I think it was 5 years. So we haven't seen Guardiola stay at a club for this long in a little bit, and it's interesting to see the evolution of his teams, because they, unlike other title defenders, Manchester City won back-to-back titles, so you usually see these teams getting better, and now there is sort of this genuine issue of how the team is defending and how they're no longer suppressing the kinds of chances that they used to. So I think from that perspective, it's been interesting, and that's kind of the positive way I can spin it. But yeah, generally it hasn't been as immediately positive as it has been over the past two seasons.
Oh, for sure. And I guess keeping on that kind of perspective, we'll kind of go over to the injury side now. I don't know if this is good or bad from a Villa standpoint, but obviously last weekend you beat Palace with some struggle near the end, but a 2-0 win nonetheless. And you're playing center backs, but your center backs are Fernandinho and Rodri, I believe. Yeah. They're not center backs and you're still winning games. So I guess with that being said, is that an area of concern right now? And you still won 2-0, but I still have to ask, is that an area that Villa can exploit?
Yeah, I think it's, you have to sort of look at Manchester City in a different respect, right? Like, we're playing non-typical players in non-typical roles, but that isn't, you know, a foreign thing for Guardiola or Manchester City, or, you know, the confluence of both of them. Manchester City won their first league title with Guardiola playing, you know, Fabian Delph at left back. It's not, there's a sort of a meme on tactics or analytics Twitter that is largely ascribed to a close friend, Nathan Clark, where he kind of always says, you know, players aren't positions. And it's important to have that concept in mind when you think about Manchester City, because when you talk about a team that, you know, averages over 70% possession, usually in the Premier League, the center backs aren't really doing center back things all the time. They're mainly distributors of possession, and they're incredibly important in that role. But within that, you know, when it comes to the actual defending of things, I think that's where teams are starting to have a little bit of success. I think that's the biggest problem for Manchester City right now, is that, you know, last year they largely had, you know, Vincent Kompany and Aymeric Laporte back there. And the most important thing the center backs do in relation to how City defend is that they keep that space tight, right? So Manchester City are a relentless pressing team, because they're always trying to get the ball back when they lose it. The easiest way that you can sort of maximize those pressing actions or getting the ball back is by making the pitch as small as possible. The way that you do that is by holding a really high and aggressive line. You need aggressive, intelligent defenders to hold a high and aggressive line. And Vincent Kompany and Laporte did that exceptionally well last season. When you play players that are good positionally, but not gifted in the same ways as those players, like Rodri and Fernandinho, who have a different skill set, then that spacing starts to unravel a little bit, and teams have a little bit more space if they're able to play through sort of the initial phase of the press. So in relation to the sort of injury concerns that you mentioned, that's, I think, where the effects of that are felt most palpably, you know, is they can't keep the space as well. So teams are enjoying a little bit more more freedom on the ball if they're able to get that past that initial wave of pressure.
Now, I have to bring up one thing, because I watched the Manchester City Palace game on the weekend, and the one thing that stood out to me was that as soon as Benteke came on, you guys really struggled, and that can be down to, obviously, you're not playing center backs, you're playing midfielders, defensive midfielders, really, in a center back position. Is there an element of this Manchester City side that struggles with the physicality? Because, obviously, Benteke is a big guy, and I just noticed this, well, virtually as soon as he came on, without Ederson, that probably would have been a goal, because that was going way away from the keeper, fair to say, and that was a fantastic save. So would you say playing strong physical strikers or forwards, even some midfielders, can be an issue for City?
Yeah, 100%. Like I said, it's all about the space. So in regards to open play, those central defenders have to be really aggressive and make sure that if a center forward does get the ball, or a striker does get the ball, that they don't have the ability to pass it, because that'll stop the team from advancing. In set piece, in relation to set pieces, that's an area where Manchester City have always struggled. You know, when with Vincent Kompany no longer in the team, with John Stones injured, Laporte injured, you know, a variety of other people not there. Manchester City are a very small team. You know, you're talking about a team that consistently features like Riyad Mahrez, David Silva, Bernardo Silva, and you know, Sergio Aguero. These guys are not are factors when it comes to defending set pieces. They're like midgets. So there's definitely an element to where you can exploit Manchester City physically if you have, you know, if you have the players to do that.
Oh, absolutely. Now, if you're looking at this game from your perspective, it's a lot easier to look at than ours, because let's be honest, most Villa fans, if you're being realistic, are probably petrified and thinking we're going to get absolutely smacked around here and just kind of keep the goal scoring down to as much as possible. From your perspective, how do you see this game going?
I think, I don't, I wouldn't, I would struggle to be characterized as arrogant if I came out and said, that City are probably going to win
Oh,
it.
that's not arrogant at all. That's being honest. Be as literally if you want to say something that's brutally honest, feel free to say it. I won't take it as an insult.
Yeah, I don't think it's, it's not a huge surprise that I might say that I think City will win. At the same time, like I said, there are weaknesses that can be exploited. Playing players that are not don't have a specific skill set in the center back role is a weakness that any team can exploit, and teams are always getting better at trying to exploit those things because City and Guardiola and all these people have sort of inextricably changed the way teams in the Premier League play. So from what I understand, I haven't seen too much of Villa this season, but I think they're pretty good. And if they can kind of do the same thing that a lot of teams have been doing, I know Palace didn't put forward the best performance, both sort of on the eye test and analytically, but there were some decent moments. If you can exploit the central defenders, move up the field in the counterattack, by using a physicality up top, then there's still plenty of room to kind of get at City. It's definitely possible. It's definitely more possible than it's been in the past couple of years. So if there was ever a time to beat Manchester City, it's now.
Oh, for sure. And kind of when you say like the time is now, I guess, to beat them essentially, you never know with the Premier League, it's anything can happen. I think that's why everyone loves it so much. Obviously, you guys coming off of a big 5-1 win in the Champions League against Atalanta. Now playing Tuesday and then playing Saturday, first fixture on the Saturday, is without trying to pick holes too much at Manchester City, because it's almost impossible. You guys have two teams basically. You could split up and probably both finish in the top six. And I think any fan would kill for that. But do you think fixtures so tight together, could that be a little bit of a concern as well?
Yeah, that's something Pep is always complaining about in the press conferences, and it was something that came out recently that in the winter period, which is fast approaching, they'll be playing like three games over the course of like 5 days, and I'm sure we'll hear about that. So he's always kind of complaining about that because it is important. And Rodri looked a little worrisome, I think, in the Atalanta game, and there was also an injury concern with Fernandinho. So yeah, I think, that's always a concern, especially considering there is just such an injury crisis right now at City at the central defender role, which is a really important part of the team in terms of how they move the ball. So, yeah, it's definitely a concern.
Okay. And kind of moving away from that, we'll go to a broader view. We'll step away from this fixture in particular, even though it'll still kind of encompass what it's about. If you look at the title race and as a whole, do you think if you lose this, I would never say it's over, but do you think if somehow if you lost against Villa or drew, this is an uphill battle that might be a little bit too steep?
It's definitely steep as is. I think it's going to be difficult to kind of make up that point differential because Liverpool, unlike Manchester City, they haven't, sort of regressed in any way. I know analytically the numbers aren't quite there. They're not as bad as certain things have projected to come out quite yet. But yeah, if all 3 points were dropped here, I'd say it'd be pretty difficult. That said, there's a lot of season left to go. Who knows what could happen. But it is already pretty a pretty steep hill to climb, and that would only make it more difficult.
Oh, I agree. And like with that being said, though, I think either way, both those fixtures against Liverpool are going to be the ones that almost decided, in my opinion, you would think, realistically. So that'll be interesting how it happens there. We'll switch over back to the fixture on the weekend now. This is kind of an interesting question I've asked not every podcast we've done for opposition previews, but a few. And it's always interesting to hear what opposition fans say. Would there, and this is so tough because it's Man City. Like you guys have the most ridiculous squad I've ever seen, and arguably it could be the best squad ever assembled. With that being said, would there ever be one player that I wouldn't say maybe fits in your starting 11, but that you would put in your squad from Villa? And you can be as brutally honest as possible.
I mean, I think John McGinn is a tidy player, certainly. And like I wrote something recently on João Félix. I'm not sure if it's come out yet, but you know the interesting way that sort of Manchester City attack is sort of with a front five, and that's you know been key in getting the best out of players like Raheem Sterling, because it kind of gets rid of these sort of traditional roles of like a winger or you know a attacking midfielder, all these things. It gives special players enough room to do special things. That's kind of the way I like to look at it. And from what I've seen out of John McGinn, I think if he were to be plugged into a system like that, that's something he would definitely flourish in, sort of a similar role to what Sterling's been doing with his ability to sort of receive and move forward with the ball. So I think if I wanted a player from Villa, that it would definitely be him, or maybe Jack Grealish. Jack Grealish would actually probably do a better job there. But yeah, one of those two.
That's always interesting to hear, because I'm almost sure, and I'm sure someone on our website can maybe even take a look at this, but I feel like 99.9%, if not 100% of the people always just say Jack Grealish. And it's actually nice to hear someone say someone like John McGinn, because it's not an automatic cop-out. And I think personally, from a Villa fan's perspective, he's a player that he can be noticeable, but at times he can drift away, and he's even doing the small things that people don't notice. And those are the things I personally appreciate. I love watching, like, especially defensive midfielders, even though he isn't one, work their way through the pitch and do their thing. And you have a lot of people come out and say, like, oh, they're not scoring goals or assists, but they do so much more. But anyways, I'm getting off the topic here. Well, we'll wrap it up there. But before we do, actually, let's get your score prediction. And if you wouldn't be so, ever so bold, who do you think the goal scorers would be?
Wow, that is it's a tough one. let me try to make an informed guess here. Let's see.
It's tough. Like, honestly, like, this is one of those games. And for our listeners who listened on the Holtcast on the Monday or Sunday it went out, everyone else predicted like 3-1, 4-1 losses. And I just thought I'd be positive and go 2-2, because you never know.
I don't know if I'll agree with you there, but I'm probably going to say, I'll say 3-0 to Man City.
That's fair.
With maybe Aguero scoring a brace and Mahrez getting one if he plays.
That's fair, because I think you guys are going to have a bit of rotation, especially with the midweek fixture. And no, it's not bold at all, because like the realistic part of me says it's a loss, but I'm kind of just hoping it is, because then it's kind of big headline news for us. And that's always great to make content off of, especially. And who wouldn't mind a 2-2 draw with City? It looks good on the record. But anyways, we'll wrap it up there, Nico. If you wouldn't mind, feel free right now, go ahead and if you want to plug the stuff that you were involved with.
Yeah, haven't been writing a ton about football lately, but looking to change that, you know, busy with school and stuff. But you can always follow me. I'm writing about a variety of topics, not just football anymore. And you can find all that stuff on my Twitter, which is @Nico_O Morales. But yeah, that's really it. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, no problem. And of course, you can find me on Twitter @TalkAstonVilla. Go over to the website, www.7500toholt.com. I said all three W's this time. Usually I say two, and I realize that after I'm in the editing process. So that's great to say. Of course, you can find us on Twitter as well @7500toholt. It's been great, Nico. Thank you very much. And yeah, of course, up the Villa.